What's up, guys? This podcast is sponsored by Yak Attack, and that's yakattack.us. And what Yak Attack is the leader in the kayak fishing industry who specializes in kayak fishing rigging solutions. As kayak anglers themselves, they are tightly integrated into the sport of kayak fishing and acutely aware of what the sport needs. It all starts with the gear track and or the mighty mount. And the gear track comes in all different sizes and colors, and the screw ball that attaches to the gear track is what everything attaches to. And a variety of rod holders, camera mounts for still cameras and GoPros, light poles with the day flags that folds into the flags, fish finder mounts, and the black pack crate system. All of Yak Attack's products are made in the USA. Years ago, Yak Attack set the gold standard with kayak visibility with the VisiCarbon Pro. Fast forward to today, and it remains the most dependable light flag combo in the industry. The 48-inch deployed height gets the flag and the light up where it can be seen, and the 14-inch collapsed length lets you stow it away easily when it's not in use. The high visibility flag doubles as a pouch, making it easy to unpack and store. The expectant lamp life of 10,000 plus hours of the ultra bright high efficiency LEDs, and at least 100 hours with the three AA batteries that are included. The carbon fiber mass is strong and lightweight, and the narrow profile allows for low wind drag. The soft foam keeps it afloat, and it fits in most rod holders. Available in an array of mounting options that fits in the most boats and most popular mounts. Don't compromise on safety. Depend on what tens of thousands of other paddlers trust. There's only one, the VisiCarbon Pro from Yak Attack. yakattack.us. The podcast is also sponsored by my DVDs at kayakkevin.com, the Kayak Fishing the Chesapeake Bay DVD series, and the Bay Tour DVD. The fishing DVDs are broken up into a trilogy. Number one is an intro into the fishery, has a full year's worth of footage from most of the larger fish targeted here in the lower Chesapeake Bay. The instructional sequels are broken up into two parts, the warm water and the cold water species. Number two is the warm water species, with detailed instruction on rigs and the fishery itself, spanning from the red drum at the shoals, flounder, the summertime and the summer structure species, and sight casting for red drum and striper. Number three is the cold water species, with detailed instruction on the winter targets, tautog and the eastern shore striper fishery. The Chesapeake Bay Tour DVD is a 6-week, 600-mile tour I did in 2010 around the Chesapeake Bay, filmed in kind of a Survivor Man style, showing everything I do and look for when I am on a long-distance tour. All of these DVDs are available at kayakkevin.com. All right, it's podcast number 42. It's January 28, 2015.
This is the second one this year.
Yeah, we've made
some attempts, and it's been tight.
It's been what we try to do is move it to my house to do, you know, so I can have an option of doing Skype there when, you know, just trying to make it a little bit easier. And so that kind of fell through. And also, my cable at my house is not that good, and I actually just had a guy look at it from Cox, and he said, yeah, there's not.
I had some new connections put in this past weekend by the Cox people.
Yeah, so that I might have to do that and all that stuff. And then, yeah, so it's been a pain in the ass this month, but we're trying to get it rolling again. And thanks to Joshua Schwab, who hooked us up the computer so we can do the Skype thing, and we're going to do your video. And this is Damien. Hall.
You hear him on the radio.
Yeah.
Tuna tournament, he does that commercial.
Most of the time.
Yeah, well, Damien is one of our fishing partners, and he hasn't been on the show at all. This is our second year of starting it. And, oh, Lee. We got Lee, and we're at Lee's house.
Studio 2. Right?
This is number one. We're going to call this one number one. This is because this is the main studio. We got the fucking big screen TV here now.
Yeah, we're going to try to see what we can get going on with the guests.
Well, we're going to do Skype here.
We're held down by Cox Cable right now.
Right now. Yeah, because of the internet connection. So we're going to try to figure all that stuff out. We are figuring it out, so it's coming along pretty good.
Every day we're working on something.
Yeah. So we're trying to get back and rolling again. Yeah, so this is the second one this month.
We're going to have to make you like an elevated platform with a yoga mat on it so you can just kind of, you know, get into your little stretch position while you're doing a podcast.
Well, this is now, I'm not used to this thing here now. Yeah, so now you saw me just trying to get
around. Yeah, I'm watching my leg here. It's like, you know.
Yeah, moving things around, trying to
keep moving. Yeah,
yeah.
That's too close.
I know. It's like, okay, now it already has to move out.
Almost turns into a drinking game. It's awesome.
That's the thing. As soon as I hear somebody's doing a drinking game podcast, that means we made it. Yeah. That means I have a feel like we hit a level at that point if there's actually a drinking game going on.
Well, right.
Yeah. Yeah, like whatever it's going to be, it's it hasn't happened yet, but I'm kind of looking forward to that. Now, okay, introduction to Damien. If you don't know who Damien is, if you're just kind of following my website and all of our crap, Damien is one of our fishing partners. If you look at any of the DVDs and even the old videos, I mean, you'll see him. He's one of our fishing partners, and the issue is most of the time now is scheduling. It's like you haven't been able to fish with us that much because of scheduling. You work at you work at the radio. You work at a local Sinclair Studios, and that's WNIS, WTAR, 96X, one of all the FM rock stations.
US 106,
Okay, so
it's busy.
It's busy.
Yeah,
and you do a lot of production work. You do a lot of on air work. You've if you listen to any of the expert shows. You're on there, trying to make that really
WNIS or Catching with Cap Maurice.
Catching with Cap Maurice, and that's how I met you, and that's how you got with us was when I was on Reach's show a lot.
What a mistake.
Years ago.
Yeah. What a mistake.
And back in the day, the problem was, and what got me sucked into fishing with you, was we had to listen to the radio stations five at a time. There were no alarms that went off. Mm-hmm. So I was clustered with this noise at all times, and I was slowly going insane. So I was like, I want to get out there. It'll be calm and relax. And there's nothing calm and relaxing about following Kevin around. But, that was the beginning of the end of that. Then I had to upgrade out of a convenience store sort of kayak.
Well, that happens with almost everybody. Yeah. Everybody comes into the Appomattox and has
a beginner kayak.
You know, has the Pelican.
Has
the Pelican.
Unless you bought it and it just sits on your dock outside in your backyard.
Sure.
You're going to buy it and then you're going to turn around.
That's what I told the guys. I'm just kind of wanting to get a beginner one. Well, if you like the sport, which some guys you can tell they're going to dig it. They're outdoors guys. They're young, like around that they want to go, and you can tell they're going to like it. I'm like, okay, you're going to like this sport. You're going to end up getting another boat anyway.
Yeah, if you can't look for something used.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's all kinds of avenues. Yeah. But don't. I mean, I don't advise buying them.
Well, I remember we were at the ships, and I think I hooked up. And you tried to follow me out on a rough day. We were like hidden behind the ships. I hooked up with the striper, and I got pulled out. And you tried to follow me in that Pelican, and the waves were bad. And you were like, oh, you had to get back.
The waves go right over the front and right into the boat. Yes. They fill up with water, so
that was a quick turnaround. So then you got
this was a long time.
It was a long time ago. Yeah, very long time ago.
Start counting the years.
So
it all started with radio back at kind of my home, which I'm still working at. Now it's over here at Lee's home doing you guys' version of the radio podcast thing, and I get to watch it on my cell phone. So it's
now what's funny is because I just did a show with you a couple weeks ago, and it was completely different. Different environment when you had the mic and the headphones, because I've been doing this for a year and I haven't done the show. And actually, when the last time I was in the studio was with you the year before. Remember that picture I posted up?
I posted that.
Was exactly the same weekend, because it was the same weekend that Reese went.
All right. Nice.
So that was the last time I was on with you. But having that studio environment was different from this environment. And then coming back here, I noticed that I was different here because I didn't have the mics and the headphones on, where you had to be controlled. We had to watch our mouth. And I did pretty good. I didn't cuss for 2 hours.
Yeah. I've been on Reese's show, twice or three times, and I haven't had to hit the button yet.
He let me roll last time. Yeah. He let me go for pretty much a half hour straight.
Yeah. I'm a lot better than I used to be.
I surprise myself. I'm on for almost an hour every day, and I surprise myself that I don't slip up as much as I do in regular life.
US 106.1 had a slip up this morning.
I didn't hear.
No, it wasn't anybody's fault except for Bobby Bones' show.
Yeah.
He kept his mic on when they went to supposed to go to commercial. Yes. Luckily, everybody else in the studio was off, and they have a no swear policy in the studio.
Right.
So nothing had to be bleeped out, and you couldn't tell who he was talking about. But he did not want certain people on the show because he didn't like them as guests. And But the only names he mentioned where he was like, yeah, he's like Dierks Bentley and another country singer. He was like, yeah, those guys are awesome. I love having guys like that on the show. Those are the only two names he said the whole probably three and a half minutes. I'm sitting here and I'm just listening and waiting, waiting. Because I know, it takes me a couple seconds to realize what's happened. And I'm like, oh.
On a rolling train wreck. Yeah.
Yep. He's getting, oh no.
Hot mic.
Yeah, yeah, he's talking about people he doesn't want, and man, it could have been ugly.
It's gold when that happens. It could be the end of people's careers, yeah. But it, with the podcast, it's, you know, it's a different thing. But yeah. It can be in some instances.
Yeah, so, well, we're good.
Yeah, because I mean, there's chances on that guy was talking about like big name country stars, yeah. You know, big yeah, name country go. Morning show.
And plus, yeah, we're so. I'm still actually, you know, if this show grows and it actually gets big enough where we're starting to get. Shit taken out of context. I understand it, but right now we're kind of enjoying a. Sure. Anybody who listens to us is a fan. Actually, kind of knows us, you know.
Right.
From watching us,
it's easy to follow along.
Yeah.
The story.
So it's yeah. We haven't gotten to that point where, and I've said some shit, and we've all said some shit that if you could take it way out of context,
sure.
You know, if you just kind of snap through, because that's how I listen to it. I just go through and make sure the tone is right through the whole thing, and the audio is right through the whole thing. I don't watch them. But if you could do that, you could take some shit way out of context. Yeah.
That's the fun of it. And eventually, if enough people listen, somebody
well, I guess a pretty funny picture's taken of me.
Those
out of context.
Shit's hilarious.
That's easy. Mussini just is awesome.
Rogan, right? So he's at any time when his live shows, he's got 1,000 people watching, right? He said something. It was nothing that. And then somebody immediately tweeted, "Rogan said this," and it was a perfect example of how quickly and how it can be taken into context. Sure. He was a live show. He had to go back. He had to go back and listen to it. But you know,
well, even for the fact that if you did a 3-hour podcast where we're sitting in the kayaks, if it ever got to that point where we could live Skype a podcast from sitting at the Eastern Shore, just paddling all day or doing any one of the fisheries, it would be the end of the whole thing. Like nobody would be allowed to do anything else ever again. It's a lot different. It's a less restraints than radio or other mediums. Yeah. But sitting in the boat,
I remember when actually the video I'm working on right now when I was 4 days in the spring. The video I'm working on right now is one with Rogowski, and me and him caught some in the late afternoon. I had a double one get off. So 4 days later, I stand up there 4 days later, and you come up that last day, and we catch a striper. And after that, I'm talking about my week, and I saved all that.
Nice.
Because it's like this. I'm just talking about it. Right. I'm talking about that day. I'm talking about this day. It was.
Nice.
Yeah, but yeah, if I don't remember that.
We literally have a video fishing log.
Yeah, we do. Sure. Definitely.
Well,
yeah, but yeah, yeah. So
everything kind of grows with the podcast and fishing in general here. So. Yeah.
We're hoping, especially bringing guests in from around with the Skype man.
Pretty
hopefully,
awesome. if that works out well. Here we have one thing because we can go two routers, right?
Yeah.
At my house, hopefully we're gonna get that whatever wires are right, wrong, right. And we'll be able to do that too, because my house is going to be like sometimes I'm gonna have to do stuff early in the morning or midday when he's still at work or something like that. So I'm gonna have to do those like by myself.
When we have to talk to Joel Abramson.
Yeah, like who knows that? I'll be.
Who knows what time like Norwegians are awake or whatever?
Be waking up where 7 in the morning, you know, getting on the show at 7 in the morning just that we get him recorded.
He's like, man, we're getting ready to go to bed. What?
But shit, I know Phil Spencer immediately wants to come on. He's the Ocean Kayak. He's pro staff Ocean Kayak, but he's like the head of the pro staffers Ocean Kayak.
Oh, is that the guy that commented today?
Yes. Yeah. So I was like, yep.
As soon as we get the Skype show, if he's ever in town for anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's cool about it also is doing it on location. Like when I go to
the first one we did was at
Appomattox, the demo day.
It
was fun.
And that was
fun.
Really fun. Yeah.
That was fun.
The next time was really, really fun too when we did it at the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of
people. We got a lot of action going on. We got some things going on. Lighting changes. We got the lighting man making some fine adjustments. We got our crew making fine adjustments.
Good job, Greg. But yeah, eventually I'd like to see the podcast done from the water. So, yeah. You know what I mean? That'd be good if people emailed in what the best location from it would be. But I think from the water it'd be possible. Especially sitting around at Kip to Pete's.
Especially the spot I was talking about earlier. That brick wall at the first island, this is where you would have to set up the camera at, and we just have to sit right there.
Or even in,
on a break.
Right. Or even in one of the Red Creeks, where we're all just sitting there, just one hand over fist, just releasing fish, just
time of the world. We can do it live. We have to record it. I mean, basically just take the video from that day of our balcony.
The sound is not.
Yeah.
It gets too technical at that point.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And this is a little bit controlled, you know. Yeah, and so far we haven't had the need to do the mics yet and all that stuff. And hopefully, I think with the Skype, we have a backup phone for the Skype, but it's through Skype. So if Skype's fucking up, this phone's going to fuck up anyway. So, might end up doing an actual phone line or something like that.
Right.
Or separate.
Yeah, I got a couple options for you on that, too.
Yeah. But we'll have to do it all, like live audio, like speakers and stuff like this. Just basically
you can use a laptop and have the person's image here in the corner so everybody else can see.
Well, see, I can do that after.
That's
what's going to happen. If it does go to phone, I'll just use the screen and throw the picture up here after.
Because
I have to edit stuff anyway. I have to do the ads. I do those live. I recreate those and I put the pictures on top of those every time. And and beginning, ending. You know, I do just a little bit of editing to it.
Gotcha.
So that wouldn't be no problem.
So all this is getting cut out.
No, this is all right. The only time, what will get cut out is when we detail your video towards the end here, before you got to go.
Because
we're going to move this camera here, shoot it here, and that's going to be cut out.
Cool.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
That would be cut out. And if anybody drops out of Skype and we have a long pause where we're trying to get back on, that'll be cut out.
Yeah.
Because
we can start blasting music videos too, and Shane has the perfect one.
What's that? That's your...
The Mike Jones video. When we go to break.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think he put on his grills for the show too, so that's nice of him.
Got a lot of support.
So if you've seen Damien's pictures and stuff, he manages to catch really big fish out of nowhere.
Yeah, they just come. They just...
Sometimes.
Dude, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. The last time this happened to me is that day when I lost my anchor. This is the day I ended up getting Ralph. This is the craziest day ever. So, I get up in the morning, I'm driving in, meet Damien, go to Ocean's East, and then meet up with Damien down at Sandbridge.
Fall Red Sandbridge.
Yep. Fall Red Sandbridge.
Yeah, ocean run of the Reds in the fall, September-ish, off of Sandbridge, and surf launches in this ocean. So, yeah.
At some point, I didn't latch my brand new bending branches all carbon paddle.
Oh, yeah, that's when you lost that one,
It was gone. Yep. I had no paddle when I got to the beach. I'm pretty upset.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, I'm already there. I had my boat out. Yeah, luckily, and you realize you missed it.
It was a hurricane.
And I just backed up and just let him go ape shit for a little bit and just kind of.
Then I thought, I was like, oh man, there's a kayak rental shop up the street. I bet I can rent a paddle.
Yeah.
Anyway, on the way there, I get a phone call talking about, can you find somebody to take care of a dog? Or whatever. Anyway, that's how I ended up with a second dog that day.
Yeah.
But so that happened in the meantime. So I get the paddle. Get out there. Something happens as soon as we paddle out, we get like a little past the buoy, set up a drum fish. Something happens with my clip to my buoy, and my anchor's gone. I drag around and try and snag the rope. How do you not snag an anchor rope knowing exactly where you were in a circle with hooks on the bottom? I don't get it. Never got it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to paddle in place next to Damien.
Oh, and it's getting worse.
Shark.
And
it's
worse.
Just, it's getting
worse.
Bad. Today is bad. Damien's rod just sings off. He catches a drum. And then he's like, oh man, I gotta go. He had to go to work. It was one of those days he had to go to work. So he's like, I gotta go to work. I took his anchor. Jay's coming out to meet me. So Jay comes out. We fish that spot. Catch nothing. We moved in a little bit. Set up. We sat there for like 30, 40 minutes. The sun was getting ready to go down. We're almost out of bait, so we reeled everything up. I reeled up my last bait and threw it over. I dumped all my bait. I pulled up my anchor. I'm paddling away. Jay's getting ready to dump his bait and reel his last rod up, and his shit just goes off. And he caught a drum right in front of you.
Yep. Well, it's not only Damien catching, you know, drum out in front of you, it's like the day where he catches, like, the biggest ones.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is where, like, the one, we had one really, in the springtime, it was three years ago.
3 or 4 years ago, when he caught the giant striper and the drum in the same day?
Yeah, okay. Two citations in one day, and we hadn't, none of us had done that at that point. Yeah. You know, and that, with those species there. And it was real good. We had it dialed. I was there a couple days beforehand, so I had it dialed in, really dialed in. I knew exactly where they were, you know, boom, boom, so we were over here. Striper, 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 boom, 46.
Yep.
Right.
Everybody we're catching 43s, 42s.
Oh, we had them. That was the day. Is it that in the second?
Yes, it is. It is.
That's the day in the second DVD.
Exactly.
In the second DVD that day.
Yep.
That was the day I saw them from across the water. I was like, that's them up in front of us from like a half mile away.
Yeah.
It was a long ways away. I was like, that's them.
Yeah. And so he catches that, and then we go and catch Reds. We get into a school Reds, and he catches, you know, 46 out of that. So, yeah, two citations one day. Yeah, striper fishing. In the last video, in the last DVD, you caught a good one.
Then the first time we ever went out, and I actually caught a striper. I guess here's the thing: like, I'll go and get skunked.
Yeah.
Like a dozen times, and I'll just paddle with you guys all day, and then I'll get a day where, like, the first time I caught a striper, I ended up catching four.
Yeah.
That night, and everybody else is just sitting there like, "What the hell, man?" And you're like bitching about it because you had to stay there, and you're like, "I'm cold. I'm on my home. He's catching them. I gotta stay."
I gotta stay and take pictures.
I'm soaking wet. It's like, all right.
And it's you come and you get skunked so many times, and you have, like, you're just paddling around, and you're having a nature day while everybody else is catching. And then, but when you do hook up, it's fucking monsters. It's like double monsters. And then of course you've caught the biggest 55-inch biggest red out of all of us, that, you know, out of our crew. You know, so yeah. So yeah. I was thinking about somebody. I saw somebody posting up a bucket list thing on Facebook, and I was like, "My bucket list. You know, I don't have like big grand bucket list. I just want to catch an over 60-inch red.
That's a big one.
I want to catch my fucking cobia. Yeah. I want to catch my goddamn dumb fucking 50-pound cobia. That's, you know, the two that I broke off already. I want to catch that one. Mm-hmm. Goals, dude. We'll eventually get the 60, and you'll probably catch it first.
Honestly, I'm really ganged up to, because I put a couple trips in last season for cobia more than I did anything else, and then I kind of took off for a lot of the summer. But
my cobia boat should be in the mail here real soon.
We're both getting ultras 4.3.
Well, I'll follow you guys around and catch them around you. So that'll have to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing about the sight casting thing. It's cutthroat out there, that shit. I know when I went out there with all the guys, I was like, okay, all the guys were out, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna compete against one fish against five guys. I'm gonna go out by myself and try to, so organize that to who gets what.
And normally when we fish together, that's the nice thing, because everybody respects the area, and it's like a pack of wolves almost. When you see it, it's like, all right, nobody's making a move until everybody's set up, like the lionesses around the down gazelle.
And that's the thing about, you know, all of us, that we work that well together, and that's how we got that shot of on the second DVD where all this we crowd all the stripers on top of each other and had that shot. And of course, all of us, you know,
it's like sheep and cattle dogs, you know what I mean? Just kind of corral them up, and everybody got one.
Shit, the way me and Lee worked that one school where I caught that 51, and he finished that 46 in 2 minutes. That was a work, because we hit him on the tail end, and we didn't mess with the school, and we backed off and let them reset while we reset. And instead of just charging in and blowing out the school and blowing them out of that water completely and possibly losing it. Yeah. So it's all like technique from the beginning, you know, and that's what's cool about it is we all have that. We all
and
work around
a bit. You know what I mean? Friends of mine that I've brought out fishing don't really get that, and it's you know, you got to bite your tongue, not get frustrated, you know. But you know, it's something. A little bit of patience can go a long way with everybody getting a fish, and that's what happened that striper day.
It's also that quick, you know, quick and being reactive. That's another thing is if somebody's coming out and they're not as you know, as been doing it as long or at the level where they're quick.
You gotta be Johnny on the spot. You gotta, now, you, not 10 seconds, think about it, decide, all right, I'm gonna slowly put my paddle down and move.
You have seconds.
Out of the way.
You have seconds to maneuver and either gonna lose a fish or get a shot at a fish.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And if you make a bunch of big stupid splashes, you know, just keep paddling, or we'll just out paddle. just keep going.
What time you gotta get out of here today?
4:30. Yeah, we're workable.
Okay.
I'll keep an eye on it.
Okay, yeah. I know you got to be at work at 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we go live at 6 o'clock.
Okay, you're good, you're good. Okay, we're good, we're in it, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm ganged up for it, and there's always something new. I know, like you mentioned, the Cobia thing. That's, you know, it's not new, but it's new to your game. It's new to, I haven't landed one, but...
I haven't landed a big one, or a real one yet. I've caught small ones. But the thing is, what I did last year was that new game, it's a new game for me because I did it without, well, I did it without chumming, because that's why I hated it.
It's a great story on the radio. If anybody listens to it on the website.
I got it on.
Yeah, that's a great story, just, you know, the fact that after hooking up to it, it's now a vengeance thing.
Well, like, before that, it was happened. The whole thing of going out without chum. Without bait, I caught bait. I didn't buy any chum, and that's what I hated about that fishery. I hated targeting them because of how you had to target them.
Yeah.
That had the most success was the chumming ideas with the you know, the chum out and the cut baits or even live baits, and you had to buy eels. And I didn't want to buy anything. I just wanted to go in, and I developed my sight casting enough where I felt confident that I could see them and I could sight cast to them. So I just went out with nothing. I caught bait, you know, and that was just that alone. Was enough to make
it's rewarding. It's got to be rewarding. You know what I mean? It's sufficient at that point.
Yeah. Well, that's
the only thing. You're doing it the way you like to catch fish, and in a more interactive way. I mean, you know, you couldn't pay me to go over and go sit there for black drum with smelling like clams and sit on the eastern shore rocking in the kayak.
And be nonstop catching, you know, roundhead. Or roundhead, getting chewed up by nonstop roundhead and bait fish. And it's,
I have no desire to do that.
Just having that...
Ugh, the black drum.
Just that fishery. And that's what we haven't been doing that because of, it's a lot of it is the style of fishing that we have to target these things. And now that we've gotten into, we have a boat now that we can have a live well. I had that Ultra, and now Lee's going to have Ultra. Now we have live wells. And we've got pumps. I mean, you know, a pump right there is how we...
Yeah, I want one of these too.
Yeah. Well, you need an Ultra. Because this is that live well, and we pump water in and pump water out, and we don't use the aerator because the aerators are all noisy and stuff. But this is aquabound.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it feels like quality too. It's not the cheap one that you.
It's awesome. I got a hose on mine, nice. So it doesn't splash around. But
I'd put a hose on it. It's clear.
It pulls water out and push water in. It's really, really good. Yeah, it's nice. Really fast.
Yeah.
But that's like that.
Yeah, I've seen you use it before. It shoots it out 3 or 4 feet.
I got a hose on it, so it's not that splashing.
No, not anymore.
Yeah, well, I was splashing my camera. Every time I was trying to pump water in, it was splashing the bow cam.
I bet.
So I have a brand, you know, clean bow cam, and I go, as soon as I'm catching bait, I'm already messing it up. I haven't caught fish yet. But, so just that idea, we can go and just paddle around. See, I don't mind paddling around for one fish. I mean, for sight casting... Do I do it for reds?
Yeah. Yep. I'll get scummed a half dozen times to go for that one fish.
I've been cobia fishing so many times and caught no keepers yet. Yeah. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. The closest I've even seen one being caught in a kayak was the one you had.
The small.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we caught a 40 pounder that day or something like that.
No. I was with you this spring, this fall.
Oh, right.
That 40 incher.
Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I had one by the boat. You were there for that, but that broke off in a minute and a half. But he was right by the boat. 20 seconds.
How big? Come right up.
37, maybe.
Okay, same size as what I had.
Yeah.
Not real big.
Yeah, I was going to put that fight up, but it's boring.
Yeah.
It's boring, especially as it towards when it's not on the surface anymore. It's just staying right at the boat 6 feet away from me just doing this. And it does that for 3 minutes. I'm like, okay, you know, it's boring. So if I do put it up, I'm going to cut it off and make a short fight. But,
too bad that thing didn't get hooked better. That would have made a good dinner.
Yeah.
Especially after catching all those drum.
That size.
Oh, yeah, man. That was like a 40-incher.
Yeah.
It was definitely a keeper.
Yeah.
But it was not anywhere near like 25, 10.
No,
it
was
like 15, 20-pound fish.
Once
I
really kind of looked at it and then look at the video and see the size went brown.
Oh, yeah.
And see the size of it. It's 15, maybe.
So. Leave that one out. That one was delicious on the way.
Yeah. Cubby's all right. Not a big fan of it.
I love it.
Never had it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like the bigger meat, the bigger flakes.
And I like the smaller, even the cobia. But the thing is, the last time when you had that one, I froze it. I froze it in water, and I don't know if that pulled oil out of it or whatever it did, because it's kind of some little bit of oil.
You can't judge it after you
freeze it. I don't know. Yeah. And Damon is the only one that almost ate an oyster toad.
Yeah, almost. Almost.
I haven't been able to tell. I had the one. I had the one a couple weeks ago. If you wanted to eat it. Oh, speaking of, like, that What about those fish Rob posted the video of? Alive after a day and a half out of water.
Oh, I didn't see that.
On the ice.
I didn't see that. I did that.
Dude, I mean, Rob caught a bass and a crappie, I guess.
Oh, okay.
All right, so he was going to do prints.
Yeah.
That night, they had been out of the water for, and on ice all day.
Right.
So he goes to do prints. They're flopping. He puts them back in the cooler. Checks the cooler the next day. So it's like, he said they were like 28 hours out of water. The crappie, still gilling.
Wow. Maybe it's because they went from such cold water to cold ice, where it's almost the same temperature. It never really, you know, kind of almost didn't change, you know, whatever.
That's crazy. Nuts. Zombie fish.
Zombie cat. You see that post today? A cat got hit by a car and they buried it and started meowing and came back. Oh, it was like a zombie cat.
Yeah, and if it dug its way out of the grave or some shit. Stupid.
I had one of about 6 or 7 hours out of the water sitting in the back of my kayak with three dead tog. I filleted the tog, and they're beautiful, all nice fillets, and I get to this oyster toad, and it tries to bite me. I grab it, and it's like, I'm like, whoa.
But then you skinned it, you
can't eat it. I skinned it, and it was like, beautiful white meat tog fillets, and then kind of this grayish piece that smelled different. Like, different fish smell different ways when you cut them up. This
the
one smelled...
kind of has some grayish to it.
This is like real gray compared
you're
to that dog.
You're getting tempted.
I do always want to try it.
Next time around.
I should have kept you the one. Yeah, I had the one, dude. I caught a 16-incher with Jay the other day.
I thought I had a big one at the ship with 13. It was so big it measured. Okay, I was like, at this point I'm going to start measuring these things. It was 13 inches. You got a
16-incher.
Yeah, that's big.
We got a picture of it on the tape measure, too. I mean,
that's nuts.
Giant.
I mean, the 13, I could put my fist in his mouth. That's how big it was. Yeah, and this I can't. You probably put. You know,
then you can finally go fishing with a hook. You know what I mean?
It was. Giant. Yeah, that's just. I can't imagine.
I'm gonna have to blind taste test that. You know what I mean? Next time we're frying up fish or something like that. You know, when we're all around or something like that. Maybe at Kipto or something like
that. The Yancey.
I'm gonna try it.
The Yancey's loaded with them.
I'm gonna try it.
Take some clams to the Yancey right now.
They're all cold.
Giant ones, dude. Giant ones at the Yancey. That's where they live. I mean, the big. The biggest ones we've caught on the bridge have probably been at the Yancey.
Yeah, because we don't get them even that big on the rocks. It's usually on the pilings. Yeah.